Today on Family Talk.
You know, it seems like a couple that lives together before marriage would have a better chance at having a successful marriage. But actually, the opposite is true. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to continue our conversation with relationship expert Dr. Scott Stanley about the problem with cohabitation. Family Talk exists to preserve and promote the institution of the family, and that means exploring relationships at all levels. Well, today, Dr. Stanley will share with us the science behind the problem with living together before marriage. Dr. Stanley has a PhD in marital commitment from the University of Denver and is a research professor who conducts studies on marriage and romantic relationships. Along with his colleagues, he also develops material to help people and their relationships based on the best social science possible. Most importantly, as related to our discussion today, Dr. Stanley has been married to his wife, Nancy, for over 32 years. Now, some of you will not be able to stay with us for the duration of our program, and as a result, I need to let you know about an opportunity you don't want to miss. Thanks to the offer of a matching donation from one of our ministry partners, every gift we receive this month, up to a total of $200,000, will be matched dollar for dollar. That means your donation today can make a real difference in the lives of twice as many families. And to say thank you for your gift this month, we will send you my dad's latest book, Your Legacy, and the DVD that corresponds with it from our brand new film series, Building a Family Legacy. To join the mission of Family Talk and to impact twice as many families today, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, and click on the Donate tab or call us at 877-732-6825. Let's jump into the program now. Here is Dr. Scott Stanley on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Dr. Stanley, you and I have worked together through the years, although it's been some time since you've been my guest. I'm so glad to have you back. The program we did last time, I beg our listeners to get a copy of what we said yesterday, what you said, and the points you're making about cohabitation and how risky it is and how it sets a young couple on a course toward a lot of pain for both the man and the woman, but especially for the woman. And you clarified that yesterday. But first of all, let me say thank you for being with us again.
Thanks for having me back.
Because we got a lot to talk about.
Thank you very much for having me back. It's
and
great to be back.
You, all these years now, since we first worked together, you've been doing research on marriage, on commitment, on what works and what doesn't work. And you have a book that you have newly revised. It's called A Lasting Promise, The Christian Guide to Fighting for Your Marriage. What do you mean by fighting for marriage?
You know, what we mean by that is honoring that instinct, that desire some people have to really work at it and make their marriage work. Most people want to be married. Most people want their marriage to last for life. But they don't necessarily see either that or how to fight for the marriage. You have to fight for marriage. You know, marriage doesn't just happen. It doesn't last 50, 60 years by you just sitting back twiddling your thumbs. You got to invest. One thing I like to say to people is commitment isn't about what you did on your wedding day. It's about what you do every day thereafter. Mm-hmm. And part of fighting for your marriage is to continue investing, to learn how to communicate, handle conflict, and sacrifice for one another. That's fighting for your marriage.
Shirley and I have been married 54 years, about to be 55. And we have determined that it was going to work and have loved it along the way.
You decided.
But people who just slide into a cohabiting relationship have usually not gone through that process of saying, wait a minute, well, where's it going? And am I willing to make the commitment to make it succeed? They haven't done that.
This is one of the, I think, a pretty interesting point to pastors and counselors that's based on exactly that, is that a lot of times, you know, you'll have a couple that's married and they'll come in and they'll sit in front of you. They're struggling or they wouldn't have come in and they want some help. And what I say to counselors, marriage therapists, and pastors now is 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, you could assume that couple that's now on the couch in front of you at some point had made a really clear decision to do life together, that they really decided that while they still had all their options. But I'll say you can't assume that anymore because people slide through having children, cohabiting, other kinds of major relationship transitions that take on a life of their own, that increase the constraints around the relationship that make it harder to break up. You can have that couple now sit down in front of you, and they may have slid all the way through everything so far to right in front of you on that couch. And one of them, if not both of them, but certainly one of them, I think is very often sitting there, how did I even get here? I don't even remember actually deciding because they hadn't. Yeah, sure, they got married. They walked the aisle. I mean, that happens. But a lot of people, what they don't see the risk for some of the ways that things are happening now is they're getting married to somebody because they had already made it really hard to break up with that person before they really had made that decision that it's you and me for life.
You said something yesterday that I'd like you to repeat, having to do with ambiguity.
Yeah.
There's not much today that is for certain. Explain that.
Well, in relationships, and this relates to fear. Ryan's commented on this, that, you know, people, because of what they've seen in their parents' marriage or other marriages not making it, or just their general sense of how many marriages don't make it or marriages that are difficult, people fear marriage now. And they fear, and it's not just marriage, they fear being really clear about their commitment and their desires. Because if I'm really clear, maybe I can get rejected. And so that makes sliding in romantic relationships, it seems more desirable. If I'm not real clear, then maybe I'm not risking as much or I won't get hurt as much. The problem is that when things really start to matter about building a life together, about having a family together, commitment is the powerful thing. And commitments are always decisions. And one of my favorite one-liners that you might remember from long ago in a show, because I would have said this then as well, commitment is making a choice to give up other choices.
Uh-huh.
We live in a culture that we're encouraged to hang on to everything, not give up anything. You cannot have a deeper, more powerful life path with somebody else, raising a family, if you haven't decided at some point to give up other choices. That's what commitment is. Any commitment, making a choice to give up other choices. And commitments are decisions.
When you were talking about ambiguity, you said at one point to me that young people are not even clear on what Friday night's date means.
Yeah,
they don't even know. Is it a date?
Yep.
Is it hanging out? Is it let's go have coffee? It could mean anything.
I write on three different blogs, and I think one of the most popular pieces I've ever written, it either has that title or something very similar. People could find it. Is this a date? It's something like that. I was just seeing all these stories, and I'd already been thinking for years about ambiguity, which, by the way, the great contrast between ambiguity is clarity about commitment. And it even shows up in dating. There's all these articles on the internet about people essentially thinking, okay, we're going to spend some time together Friday, but is this a date? And people have trepidation about even being clear. Are we actually dating? Is this a date?
There is a matchmaking service that's titled It's Just Coffee.
Yeah.
Boy, doesn't that say it all.
Yeah,
there is no expectation whatsoever. It's a 75-cent cup of coffee. That's all.
Yeah.
It's just coffee. Yeah.
75 cent, really?
Well, okay.
You've not gotten coffee in quite some time.
McDonald's.
Sure.
Okay.
You know, I talked to kids about this at Summit, the camp here in Colorado, all summer long. And I said, never wake up with a boyfriend who didn't earn that relationship, where you've hung out with someone long enough to where I guess we're in a relationship. I hear that all the time. I guess we are. For me, that's the path of least resistance.
Yes.
Let's not talk about it. It might get awkward. Let's not discuss it. Let's not talk about the future. Maybe I'm going to scare you away. Maybe we're not there yet and I don't know it. You know, that whole path of least resistance often leads to more problems.
Yeah. I think the fact that that's in the language now, the define the relationship talk, that is actually – it's one of the symptoms of the very point I'm making about how ambiguous it is now in terms of the romantic world. But given that it's so ambiguous, I actually think the DTR is a pretty good idea for this reason. The person that knows they're pretty committed and they're thinking this could be the one, this is pretty serious – what I really want that person to think about isn't what could we slide into that might sort of make it more likely that that turns out the way that I want it to do. I want that person to think instead, what could you affirmatively do or push on that would clarify whether this person's really that one, whether this person would really go the distance with you, rather than letting that be vague. And that might be, let's sit down and have the talk. That might be, are we ready to meet the parents? That might be, let's take a workshop together, or let's read a good book together on marriage and talk. What I want people to realize is there might be some information for some people about whether a relationship kind of could make it in living together. But the problem with it is living together makes it harder to break up. What I want people to think about is do some things that help you decide if this person's the one that don't have that high cost. Yeah. Do some things like talking, like reading, like discussing a movie that really has a big thing about marriage in it. Well, what's that mean to you? What do you think about marriage? Those things are really important ways you can learn about this person and try to really flesh out, do we have some kind of symmetrical commitment here?
We can learn a lot about ourselves that way. Yeah. I want to talk to any man listening today and anybody that can help me get this across. We've got to take away the stigma of counseling, premarital counseling, workshops. I mean, anything along those lines, somehow men have got it in their heads. If I've got to go to a counseling session, something's wrong with me. It's just, they're going to beat up on me and I'm going to be the bad guy and I'm not doing and all those things. You know, we don't think you're a bad guy if you put oil in the car. You don't wait till your engine seizes to put oil in the car. You get oil, you know, every 3,000 miles and you get a tune-up on a regular basis and you take it to a mechanic and you go, hey, how's my car doing? I want this to last as long as possible, but we don't do it with our marriage. There's
Ryan,
nothing wrong with
another
that.
Another take on that is that frequently the guy has no intention of marrying this girl. She's somebody to hang out with. Somebody that he finds interesting, even if they do not have sex, and I pray that they won't, he is not wanting to clarify the relay. What is it, DC?
Clarify, DTR. Can I pick up on both? Because this is a great, to me, this is a great moment in the conversation, because for the married couples, especially love the idea, you know, doing some workshops. But for the pre-married ones, I love it too for the very reason that you just said, Jim, because compared to cohabitation, which I'll tell you from the research, it's not informative about commitment. It doesn't contain information about commitment. Now, if a couple says we're engaged, that contains a massive amount of information about commitment because it's public and it's declared. But here's this moment that you're identifying that I think is great. If you're trying to figure out whether this relationship's got legs and it can go the distance, figuring out a couple of these other things besides cohabitation, a couple of these other things that don't have that same cost, you're about to learn a whole lot when you ask your partner to do something like that. So, hey, you know, the church over here's got this workshop this Saturday for couples, and I think that'd be kind of cool for us to go, or any variation of this sort of idea. What that person has wisely done now is they've just put a step into the relationship and they've asked a question that's going to have one of two answers. There's a step I just put down and I'm going to see now whether my partner's going to step up or step away.
Yeah.
And if he continues to step away.
Or she.
Well, but it's mostly.
Listen, I think it's changing today. I think that historically has been true.
I know it is.
I think it's about 2-3 to 1.
Sure.
But there's a lot of guys that they're in that.
Little girls cut their eye teeth on the idea of being married. And I think that's still true. And they, you know, the Cinderella kind of thing. I know that the world has changed, but females tend to feel that way more than guys do. And when she realizes that he's not where she is and that this may not be moving toward what she most wants. I have some advice for her. Send him packing.
Yep.
Don't hang around with an ambiguous relationship. You're going to get hurt.
That's absolutely right.
And so what I wrote about in Love Must Be Tough, clarify that relationship. And if it's not clear, then you've got a problem. And the best way to save the relationship and bring it to what you want is to not sleep with him. In fact, that'll destroy the relationship. It is saying, let me know, because I can go two ways. Yeah.
People need to use the leverage they have when they have it. And a lot of times people are giving up their chance to get clear information, and they're making it harder. One of the ways I often put this to people is that a lot of times when people are sliding through these transitions, what's particularly interesting and risky about that is they're getting this information about this person after they have the most ability to act on it.
Yes.
When it's having a child, when it's cohabiting,
yes,
sex, they're learning about somebody. But instead of doing things where you get the information front-loaded, get the information before you go through the transition.
And you have more options.
And then you got your options.
That's right. Easier options and more options.
Full choice.
I'll tell you what, Dr. Scott, in reading your book, we have forgotten to talk to a certain segment. There are people listening right now that did live together before they got married. They're married now and they're saying, oh no, do I have a bad marriage? Is my marriage doomed? Do I really have a lower quality? And I got to tell you, the fact, I'm going to paraphrase what you said, the fact that you're listening to this program, the fact that you're interested in this topic, the fact that you've lasted this long says a lot. You do care about your marriage. You do care about having a good marriage. And there is so much you can do right now to continue that, to have a good marriage. You can go get a tune-up. You can do the oil change for your marriage. You can go to a workshop. You can talk to your spouse. You are not lost by any stretch.
You can fight for your marriage.
That's right.
You can. You can.
Ryan, I'm just really glad you made that point, because most of our conversation in these last two programs has really been focused on that person before they get married. But that other person is listening, and they need to know. And the way I like to say this to people, it's never too late in your life to start making decisions and stop letting things slide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the failure to clarify things before you're married continues to be a problem after you're married.
I think for some people it really can be, because I think it's increasingly likely now that somebody could be there well into marriage and kids and the mortgage and everything, and kind of asking themselves inside, how did I get here? You know, if there wasn't a lot of clear decisions along the way, I think it's more likely that you could find yourself on that path thinking, how did I get here? And the fact is, and like you said, people are listening, people are interested, some, you know, there's a spark there. Wherever you found yourself now, the time is now to start making decisions and deciding what you're about, who you're going to be, and how you're going to live out your values.
Mm-hmm. May I try to clarify something, and you jump right on it, okay?
Great.
You know, the institution of marriage was not man's idea or woman's idea. From a Christian perspective, it was God's idea, and it predated Christianity, because it took place in the Garden of Eden, where the Creator said, for this cause a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. That goes all the way back to the beginning of mankind. And there will be many people listening to us who are contemplating cohabitation. They may have decided to do that or may be sliding toward it, but at any rate, they're heading in that direction. And I want to say to them, don't make that mistake.
Yeah.
There is an exclusivity about my relationship with Shirley that is priceless to me at this stage of my life. You know, I love her with all my heart after 54 years, and I will spend the rest of my life with her. I'm grateful that we didn't do something stupid when we were 22 years of age. You know, we probably could have gotten the money together to have gotten an apartment together and lived together and tried the suit on before we bought it. I'm so grateful I didn't. And those who do that are setting themselves up and their children with immeasurable pain. Don't do it. Wait. Give God time. Mm-hmm. Clarify the relationship. Make an informed decision. And when you go into it with all your heart.
Absolutely.
You agree with that?
I agree with that. And the let me pick up on the passage for a moment because, of course, that's the foundational passage in all of Scripture.
Yes.
On marriage. It's fascinating. You know, the next verse is that the man and the woman were naked and unashamed.
Yes.
You know, that there's this sense of great safety and intimacy. And everything about the first part of the passage that you just quoted is a point about commitment. Leaving is a point about priority.
Yeah.
Cleaving or be united is the Hebrew word dabak, which really is, it's like epoxy glue. There's a strong bond. And then it says, and the two will become one. The two will become one flesh. All of those are aspects of a strong commitment. High priority, being united for life, a sense of oneness, right? And then this beautiful image of intimacy about being naked and unafraid or naked and being unashamed comes in the context of all of that message about commitment. And so forming as well as you can, as strong as you can, a clear foundation of commitment in the first place is the most powerful secret to getting to that kind of intimacy in the first place.
Mm. This is good stuff.
It
Do
is.
You know that? I am so appreciative for your coming and reintroducing these concepts and ideas to us and adding the research findings that you continue to generate. I pray that God will continue to use you in this field. You stand alone. I said it yesterday. I don't know anybody that has contributed more to this understanding of commitment and marriage than you have. And I appreciate you being with us, and we'll do it again.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate what you said.
No, it's been a fantastic day. It's fun sitting here, and I just think how blessed I am. You've been married for almost 55 years now, Dad, and you're going on 33, and I'm celebrating 10. But I'm trying to get to where both of you are, and this helps. And it allows me to help other people achieve that same goal.
I think you're going to make it, Ryan.
Oh, I think so too.
And you're committed to your family,
definitely,
too.
Definitely. You know, it's interesting. Whenever I talk about you in public, Dad, if I'm in a big group, if I'm at Summit with high school kids, it doesn't matter where I am. When I mention you've been married for 54 years, everybody claps. You never hear anybody go, boo, boo, what a terrible thing. You've been committed to each other for 55 years, 54 years. It's everybody wants that. That's the inner goal.
Yeah.
You know, that's what people want. They're afraid. They're afraid of getting hurt. They're afraid of divorce. They're afraid of harming kids, all of those things. But really, what we want is someone that after 55 years, you just want to be with that person more. That's what we want, and this is going to help people get on their way.
And the Creator said it in the Garden of Eden. It's not good for man to be alone.
Yeah,
we were designed for each other. It's amazing how the male and female personality and spirit and their self-concept it lends itself to this commitment. But it takes work, and sometimes you have to fight for it. And that's what you've written about, Dr. Stanley.
Thank you.
Wow, that was some amazing content we've heard today. I hear people talk about cohabitation and living together before marriage all of the time, but it's rare to learn from an expert like Dr. Stanley who understands the social sciences behind this phenomenon. We've been listening to the conclusion of an interview between Dr. Scott Stanley and ourselves here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and at the top of the program, I mentioned the opportunity to help us reach a full $200,000 conditional match. To donate, you can call us at 877-732-6825 or visit our website, drjamesdobson.org. And as a thank you for your donation, we'll send you two powerful resources to help you build legacies of faith in your family. The resources are my dad's new book, Your Legacy, and the DVD that corresponds from our film series, Building a Family Legacy. Thanks for standing with us on behalf of families today. Again, donate online at drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. Coming up next time on Family Talk, we'll wind back the clock and learn some valuable lessons from our founding fathers. Don't miss this classic program. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk. This month, your gift can go twice as far, and it will be doubled by a dollar-for-dollar matching grant up to $200,000. For your gift of $30 or more, we'll say thank you by sending you my latest book, Your Legacy, and its corresponding DVD from a brand new DVD series called Building a Family Legacy. Find us on the web at drjamesdobson.org. Thank you for your support and for listening to Family Talk.